Good morning. A few announcements. For those of you that are viewing us on Facebook, please engage with us by either liking or making comments favorably. And those of you in the congregation that want to engage with those people, feel free to use your phone, but turn the volume down, unlike me. So that you can do that without interrupting us. Secondly, Brown Bag Bible Study will not meet this Wednesday, but we will resume the week after. The Ritual of Friendship, the red books on the pews, please fill those out. Again, that's just a way for us to engage and see how everybody's doing. And one last thing about the Camp Gilmont. Again, that's a women's retreat coming up on February 4th through the 6th. Mary Leah Duran is the contact on that. And finally, if anybody has any prayers or concerns, please contact the church office. Thank you.
Welcome. This is the house of God. All are welcome here. Let us pray. In you, O Lord our God, we find our joy. For through your law and your prophets, you formed a people in mercy and freedom, in justice and righteousness. Pour your spirit on us today, that we who are Christ's body may bear the good news of your word to all who seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Let us gather for worship.
For this day is holy to the Lord.
The joy of the Lord is our strength and salvation.
And we gather to offer our praise.
In singing and in silence.
In word and
let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Let us come and worship God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 395. Remain standing as you're able, and let us sing Blessed Jesus at Your Word.
Let all thoughts and hearts be stirred. please be seated.
The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to go to the throne of God in confidence, knowing that He will forgive our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin, and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Holy God, we confess that we have wandered from Your light. We follow paths of self-indulgence instead of focusing on our need of You. We passively accept the suffering of the world, expecting others to stand up and work for the change we would like to see. Lord, in Your strength, renew us and compel us by Your invitation that we may work to pursue Your justice and mercy for all people, sharing Your light in ways great and small. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Now for our prayer for illumination. Holy God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today I'll be reading from Nehemiah chapter 8, various passages. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Will the children please join me up front? Hey, Samuel, you want to come sit over here? Yeah, you come? Okay. What is this? A Bible, yes. Can you think of another name for the Bible? It's the Word of God. The Word of God. Why do we call it the Word of God? Because God speaks to us through the Bible, right? And so that's why it's important to us. And when we read from the Bible at the end, we often say, the word of the Lord. And everybody says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Well, you know, there's something else that's called the word. And it's usually spelled with a capital W. And that's Jesus. You know why Jesus is called the Word? That's because Jesus is the image of God to us in a sign that we can understand. He came to us and lived among us as the Word. And we interpret this, which is just a book. We worship Jesus, the Word with a capital W, but we don't worship a book. And we interpret, when we read the Bible, we interpret it in light of what we understand Jesus to be saying to us. That's why Jesus is the Word with a capital W. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you come to us in Jesus, the Word made flesh. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who helps us to understand the Word that we read. Guide us, O Lord, that we may understand your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Lillian, do you want to take Samuel back to his seat? Lillian, ready to get back? Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed
go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, end quote. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Those are the beginning words of the Gospel of John. And for me, among the most important words in the Bible. These words establish that Jesus Christ is God. John is using the word logos to refer to Jesus as the Word. John is telling us that Jesus is the Word. The Greek word logos means more than just a word, as something a child might spell in a spelling bee. The logos also meant reason, meaning, logic, or wisdom. Jesus is the source of our meaning. So why am I talking about John when the scripture lesson is from Luke? Our lesson today from Luke shows us Jesus reading and interpreting Scripture. John tells us that Jesus is the root and ground of meaning. John tells us that not only does Jesus preach the Word, Jesus is the Word. Our understanding of Scripture should begin and end with Jesus Christ. Karl Barth, the greatest theologian of the 20th century, described this as the threefold form of the Word. The Word of God is like a target, with Jesus as the bullseye. The ring around the bullseye is Scripture. And the ring around that is preaching or proclamation. In today's scripture, we have all three. We see Jesus. We see Jesus reading scripture. And Jesus proclaiming the word of God. Our passage begins with the statement that Jesus is in the power of the Spirit. This story comes early in Jesus' ministry. Shortly after his baptism and his 40 days in the wilderness, during which he is tempted. As we said when we looked at the baptism story, Jesus has joined with us in our everyday lives through his baptism. In the wilderness and temptation story, Jesus experienced the temptations that we all experience. And Jesus relied on his understanding of Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit to resist those temptations. In changing water to wine at the wedding in Cana, which we talked about last week, Jesus celebrates with us in our times of triumph and joy. Jesus is truly with us in all aspects of our lives. In today's story, Jesus reads and interprets Scripture through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is very important. This is why we pray for illumination and inspiration when we read Scripture. It's easy to to misinterpret Scripture or to bend it to our own use. It is only through the Holy Spirit, the one who inspired Scripture to begin with, that we can understand and apply Scripture to our lives. The Holy Spirit was with the writers of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit is with the readers of Scripture. Jesus chooses a passage to read from the book of Isaiah. Because Jesus was reading from a scroll, he had to be very familiar with the passage in order to find it. When he does find it, he reads it somewhat differently than we have in our Bibles. The passage from the beginning of Isaiah 61, with the addition of one extra phrase, reads as follows. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. End quote. It's interesting to note where Jesus chose to stop. He left off the phrase, the day of vengeance of our God. Richard Rohr notes this. Jesus omits troublesome verses with which he does not agree, as when he drops the final half verse from the Isaiah scroll when he first reads in the Nazareth synagogue. The audience would be familiar with the first line of Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim a day of vengeance from our God. Yet Jesus ends earlier with, quote, proclaims the day of the Lord's favor. This is one reason that we interpret Scripture in light of the teaching and authority of Jesus Christ. It is clear that Jesus does not always agree with the popular interpretation of the Scripture of the day. This is not to say that Jesus disregarded Scripture. Far from it. It is obvious that Jesus was very familiar with Scripture. However, Jesus made it clear that overly rigid interpretation of Scripture missed God's true message. Consider Jesus' message in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, when he says six times, the law says, but I say. In those verses, Jesus is not abolishing the law. He is reinterpreting the law from the rigid moralism to an emphasis on love. The Jews had created 613 mitzvot, or rules, to fence the law. The idea was that by keeping all those rules, the Jews could avoid violating the commandments. Jesus preached a different approach. In Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40, quote, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Which law and the prophets is what they called the Old Testament or the Scripture the Jews knew. So on these two commandments hang the Scriptures. Now, Jesus was changing the approach from fencing the law with rules to fulfilling the law by love. By loving God and loving neighbor, one would keep the law without being legalistic. Like our passage today, Jesus obviously picked and chose scriptures from the sacred text. It's interesting that the only time Jesus is recorded as having quoted Leviticus, you know, the book with all the rules in it, is to quote the positive passage from Leviticus 19:18, which says, "You must love your neighbor as yourself," end quote. Likewise, Jesus chose to ignore many of the so-called purity laws recorded in Leviticus. Richard Rohr notes this, quote, "He," Jesus, "consistently and openly flouts seemingly sacred taboos, like not working on the Sabbath, not meeting with women, not eating with sinners and non-Jews, not touching lepers, and purity codes in general. He is shamed and criticized for ignoring sacred hand washing, taboos against touching the dead, unclean people and unclean foods, and the practice of stoning women adulterers. Jesus has Jewish common sense and can never be called a legalist. In fact, he is accused of being a libertarian and a non-ascetic instead of following the strict fasting of John the Baptist and his disciples." In passing, I would like to note that it is not entirely clear that all Jews practice purity laws rigorously. Orthodox Jew and New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine has written many times that Christian scholars frequently misrepresent Jewish thinking when they overemphasize the scope and influence of the purity laws. For example, she disagrees with the Levite and the priest in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. Or she disagrees that the Levite and the priest did not render aid because of purity law considerations. She finds Jesus' interpretation of the Old Testament rule to love neighbor, taken from Leviticus 19, as being equally applicable to the Jews and to Jewish law, and would supersede any purity law considerations. It's obvious that Jesus took Scripture seriously. He quoted Scripture to emphasize points such as, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In response to the devil's temptation that Jesus turned stones to bread when he was hungry, that Scripture alone reemphasizes the importance of being familiar with Scripture. We, like Jesus, should live on the words of life that proceed from the mouth of God. However, we must be careful that those words are not taken out of context and turned into words of death. Richard Rohr states it this way: "For all its inspiration, for all the lives it has changed, the Bible is undeniably problematic. Put in the hands of egocentric, unloving, or power-hungry people, or those who have never learned how to read spiritually inspired literature, it is almost always a disaster. History has demonstrated this century after century. So this is not an unwarranted, disrespectful, or biased conclusion. The burning of heretics, the Crusades, slavery, apartheid, homophobia and genocide and oppression of native peoples were all justified through the selective use of scripture quotes, end quote. We avoid improper use of scripture by following Jesus' lead. We seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We read scripture in light of how Jesus read scripture. We read scripture with the light of love, knowing that God, who is love, revealed God's love and God's purpose through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then, after reading scripture, we, like Jesus, seek to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. May it be so. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words printed in your bulletin, the affirmation of faith adapted from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? God's sovereign love is a mystery beyond the reach of the human mind. Human thought ascribes to God superlatives of power, wisdom, and goodness. But God reveals divine love in Jesus Christ by showing power in the form of a servant, wisdom in the folly of the cross, and goodness in receiving sinful men and women. The power of God's love in Christ to transform the world discloses that the Redeemer is the Lord and Creator who made all things to serve the purpose of God's love. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 772, Live into Hope. Please be seated. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Thank you. us pray.
Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please be seated. Let us pray.
Joining our hearts and minds in prayer, let us call on the name of the Lord, saying, O God of grace, we pray for the church. Teach us to be one body in Christ our Lord, with all the members working together and striving for the greater gift of love. O God of grace, we pray for the world. Bring good news, release, and freedom to the poor, captives, and oppressed. Give new hope and vision to all. O God of grace, we pray for our communities. Lead us by the wisdom of your word to go forth in mission to our neighbors, feeding the hungry with the bread of life. O God of grace, we pray for the earth. Deliver us from selfish use of the resources you have given us. Guide us to be a blessing upon your creation. O God of grace, we pray for loved ones. Give us gifts of healing and compassion to help those who are hurting and honor those who suffer shame. O God of grace, mighty God, strengthen your people so that we may live in the world as those you have chosen and called through Jesus Christ our Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 314, our hymn of the month, Christ Be Our Light.
People, rise for the world to see.
having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Read and understand the sacred word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit and the example of Jesus Christ. May each of us fulfill the purpose of God as we live according to that word. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.